You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Many have a practice that they refer to Yom HaKippurim as the Yom HaKadosh, as if they don't want to pronounce the name, the correct name of the Yontif. So many assume that we treat the name of the Yontif as if it's Shem Hashem, and there's an Isur HaTzor Shem Shamayim Levatola. So just like you say, the Shem Amforish, you don't pronounce the Shem Amforish. You call it the Shem Hashem, and you call it the Shem Amforish. So you call it the Yom HaKodesh. So this is, Rav Soloveitchik once said this over in the name of the Bnei Yisoschar. Bnei Yisoschar is a sefer written by Chassidus Rebbe, Rav Pirsch Melech Dinever. His Rebbe told him that he's from Shevet Yisoschar. So that's why he called his sefer Bnei Yisoschar. So the first half of the Sefer is all about Shabbos, and the second half is about the Yamim Tovim, and he goes in order of the months. Every month he discusses which Yamim Tovim occur then. What kind of idea is this? Why do you treat the name of Yom Kippur as if it were the Shem Amforosh? Because the uniqueness of Yom Kippur is that there's, we assume there's a special degree of Hashuras Hashchina wherever the Jewish people are on Yom Kippur. We are in a status of Lefnei Hashem. Rabbi Akiva is quoted in the Mishnah in Yom as saying, Ashrechem Yisrael, Lefnei Miyat Mitar Mimi Mitar Eschem. The Pasuk says, Lefnei Hashem Titoru. In the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we will have a Tahara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive all of the Averis. Yom Kippur, Yitzum Mashal Yom, Es Mechapid. Bizman Shabbos Megdush HaYakayim, they brought Korbanos. And the story of Mishtalech was Mechaper, and all the Korbanos were Mechaper. But Bizman said, the Gemara's Loshen is, Itzuma Shel Yom Mechaper, the essence of the day itself, that the uniqueness of Yom Kippur is that there's a special degree, an added degree of Hashuras Hashchina. And just like if you have clothing that became soiled, it got dirty, so you soak it in water and then you rub it to clean off the dirt. So too, the fact that our souls are rubbing with the Shechina purifies our souls. Just the Itzum Shel Yom means the fact that there's a degree of Hashuras Hashchina, we are not only in touch, the Shechina is rubbing on us, that causes the Mechilas Havainas. We have a very old minig. The Balei HaTosfos are not sure what the reason for the minig is. It must have preceded, maybe it came from the days of the Goyim, that at the end of Yom Kippur, you blow Shofar. So Tosfos and different Masechtos has different suggestions what that's all about. So one of the more popular suggestions is, one suggestion is the Zecher LeYom Kippur Shel Yovel. Once every 50 years, when you have a Shnas HaYovel, so the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, Shavah HaYovel LeRosh Hashanah LeTkiyah VeLeBrochas. And Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, once every 50. Every Rosh Hashanah you blow Shofar and say Malchus Ruhanu Shofars. Once every 50 years, you do the same on Yom Kippur. You daven, Malchus Ruhanu Shofar, and you blow Shofar, just like we do on Rosh Hashanah. So we have lost track already. We don't observe Yovel. We don't observe Yovel today because the Pasuk says, Kros Dror Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshveha. Dror means freedom. Freedom and Evidivy is Yotze L'cheres, either B'sheish or B'yovel, whichever comes first. So when it comes to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, it says, Kros Mdror Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshveha. That Pasuk is engraved on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. Thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. So Gemara in the end of Erchen says, what does it mean, L'chol Yoshveha? So Gemara says, Bizman should call Yoshveha Aleha. When all the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, then you have to observe Yovel. If most of the Jews live in Chutzlar, hardly anybody lives in Eretz Yisrael, so you don't have to observe Yovel. So we today don't observe Yovel because we lack Kol Yoshveha Aleha. They keep on, they've been writing for a long time already that the more and more Jews are moving to Eretz Yisrael, and soon 51% of the world Jewish population will be living in Eretz Yisrael. So this is probably not correct. The Yovel will not begin then, because the Gemara in the end of Erechin, when the Gemara has this comment, Bizman Shekol Yoshveho Aleho, the Gemara says, even if all the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, but you don't have Shevet Reuven living in Chelka Shel Reuven, Shevet Binyamin living Mechel Kleshel Binyamin. Every Shevet has to know what Shevet they belong to, and they have to be living in that area of Eretz Yisrael that belongs to their Shevet. So that we don't have at all today. Hardly anybody knows the Levim. No, the Kohanim are Levim. No, they're from Shevet Levi. Bnei Yisachar, his Rebbe told him that he's from Shevet Yisachar. Other people don't know. Some people claim to be descendants from Malchus Beis David. Okay. The Harlap family, their tradition is that they're from Chia Rosh Golis Poilin. That's the Rosh Tevis of Harlap. And they claim that this Chia Rosh Golis Poilin was a descendant from David HaMelech, from the Malchus Beis David. The Malchus Beis David is Shevet Yehuda. But most people do not know what Shevet they belong to. So even when the majority of the world Jewish population will be living in Eretz Yisrael, the Pashtus is that we still won't begin observing Yovel Menatorah for sure not, because you don't have every Shevet living where they're supposed to live. So that's one opinion in Tosfos, that the minig of Tkiyah Shofar Metzor Yom Kippur is Zecher Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. We don't know which Yom Kippur is the Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. Maybe this year, maybe 20 years ago, maybe 20 years from now, every 50 years, but we lost track. When is it supposed to be Yovel? So that's why the meaning is that you blow shofar every year, Matzah Yom Kippur, maybe this year is Yovel. Rabbi Soloveitcher used to follow that opinion. So Matzah Yom Kippur, in most places they just blow Tekiyah Gedola on Matzah Yom Kippur. Rabbi Soloveitcher's practice was, I guess he got it from his family, that maybe in Volozhin, I don't know. He said their meaning is that they blow Tashvat, Tashat, Tarat, because on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, you blow the same as you would blow on Rosh Hashanah. But the more popular opinion in Tosfos is that the blowing shofar Matzah Yom Kippur is like at the end of Maimon Har Sinai. The din was that kol zman that the Shechina was present on Har Sinai, no one was allowed to go. Behema not allowed to climb on Har Sinai, human being not allowed to climb. And there would be five skila. Yoru, yoru, sokoli, sokolo, yoru, yoru. They would get skila. The Gemara has a whole discussion. Shor Sinai bikama. If a shor been up in Har Sinai, you have to have a gemar din of a bezdin. So how big a bezdin do you need to determine that the shor is five skila? Do you need, is it good enough for the bezdin of three? Or do you say, just like a shor aniskal, shor shahorga sa'odam, kamisa sabalam kach misa shor, you need a Sanhedrin of 23, so maybe by Shor Sinai you also need a Sanhedrin of 23. So that's a Shaila in the Gemara, Shor Sinai Bekama. So the Pasuk says in Chumash, no one was allowed to go on Har Sinai until the Shechina left. When are the people going to know that the Shechina left on Har Sinai? So it says, B'mshoch mekeren ha-yoivel, he-mayala bahar. When they'll hear the yoivel, when they hear a shofar blasting, then Hashemayim, they'll see to it that there'll be a kol ha-shofar. When they hear the kol ha-shofar, then they'll know that the Shechina left. So that's what the Kiyah Shofar is on Matzah Yom Kippur. It's a similar siluk Shechina, that on Yom Kippur there's a special degree. The Shechina is always with us all week long, all year long, but on Yom Kippur there's a deeper degree of Ashuas HaShechina. And then when Yom Kippur is over, so there's a siluk Shechina. That's why we say Hashem Hu Elokim seven times. So Tosu says to Kasha, how are you allowed to do that? The Mishnah says, Omer, Shema, Shema, Mishaskino. So you're not allowed to say Shema Yisrael twice. It sounds as if you believe in more than one God. So how can you say Hashem Hu Elokim seven times? It sounds as if you believe in seven gods. So Tosu says, no. The Shechina is going to the Shiva Rikiyim. Shechina goes from where we are on earth, goes to the first Rikiyah, then it goes to the second Rikiyah, to the seventh heaven. That's an expression in English. That's a Gemara in Chagigah. There is Zion Rekiyim. Each Rekiyah has a different name. So we baglate the Shechina when it's going from the earth to the first Rekiyah, from the first Rekiyah to the second. Each time we say Hashem Hu Elokim, the Shechina goes back to heaven. So that's the most popular explanation. Then Tosfos in another place has a third explanation that the Midrashim say, on Matzah Yom Kippur, we should all feel confident. We tried to do tshuva, and we davened, so we should all feel confident that we had a Gemar Chasima Toiva, and we should celebrate L'chuyich Lo Mashmanim. We should eat the flesh and assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Gemar Chasima Toiva for us, and that we're going to have a good year. So other one day in Taisus says that that's what the blowing of the shofar is about. They blow the shofar to announce everyone should go home quickly. Yom Kippur is over. Go home quickly and prepare a suda, because you have to have a suda to celebrate the fact that we had a mechilas avonos. So that's why the pasuk says, "Ki b'yom hazeh ha'apar alechem l'tahar eschem." How do you translate "b'yom hazeh"? So the pasuk shad "b'yom hazeh" on this day. When is it going to happen? Ki b'yom hazeh. So the Gemara says otherwise. It's what Rav Soloveitchik said. The Rishonim have an expression, "Beis hakeli." Let's say I say I'm writing with the pen. So I say "ani kosev de'eit." With a pen. It doesn't mean I'm writing in. Be means ani yoshei becheder. I'm sitting in a room. So be, the base means a location. Ani yoshei becheder. Ani yoshei babayis, in the house. So here you don't say ki bayoy mazah does mean on this day. It means, and like ani kosei be'eit, it's a base hakeli. I'm doing something with the day, with by using the essence of Yom Kippur, ki b'yom hazeh mechaper alechem. That's the Gemara's lashon. Itzumo shel yom is mechaper. The essence of Yom Kippur. What is the essence of Yom Kippur? That there's a deeper degree of hashuas hashchina, and when the shchina rubs up with us, that the erases all of the ksamim, all of the filth that you have on a garment. If you soak it in water and you rub it, then all the dirt will come out. So when we bump up with the Shechina on Yom Kippur, this causes a purification. So that's how the pasuk says, "Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem." With the essence of Yom Kippur, there'll be a mechilas avonos. The essence of Yom Kippur is hashuas hashchina. So we treat the name of Yom Kippur as if it were the Shem Amfarosh. We don't want to call it by its name, like Motzei Shem Shemayim L'matola. So that's why many have the practice, Europeans who speak Yiddish. So many have a lot of Hasidim, more so, I think, and Misnagdim also. They call it the Yom HaKodesh. The end of the pasuk, Ki Yom HaZeh Chabalam Tareschem Mikol Chatzeichem Lefnei Hashem Titoru. So the pasuk shot perhaps in the pasuk, Lefnei Hashem Titoru, on Yom Kippur, we will be in the presence of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. We will be purified because Hashem will be forgiving all of our averus. So the Rishonim understand Lefnei Hashem Titoru differently. Rav Sadia Gaon is quoted by the Rosh in the end of Yuma that everybody has to go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. And when you go to mikveh, you have to say, Abrocha, Shekereshana b'mitzos v'tzivano ala tvila. So the Rosh understood this to mean that it's based on the din of Chayivodim atay ratzmo barego. There's a pasuk in Chumash that says, "Ubin ivlosam loisi go'u." There were shmoyne shiratzim hamurim batora. There were eight rodents that, when they die, they're metame. If a bug dies, an ant dies, it's not metame. That's not from the shmoyne shiratzim. These are all eight are rodents, some kind of a rodent. So the shmoyne shiratzim are metame b'mosam. So the pasuk says, "Ubin ivlosam loisi go'u." You're not permitted to become tame. Not permitted to allow yourself to become Tamei by coming in contact with the Sheretz. So the Gemara asks, how can that be? The Sifra says, how can that be? A Kohen is permitted to be Metamei to a Sheretz. A Kohen is only forbidden to be Metamei to a mace of a human body. But to be in contact with a Sheretz or an Aveh, and Nivlos Behemach, a Chaya, that's Metamei b'maga b'masa, he's allowed to. How can it say, be Nivlos Melesi go for all of Klal Yisrael? Even Kohanim are permitted to be metami to a dead nevela. So Gemara says that goes baregel. An shalva shigolim chayvadim letayratzma baregel. So the Rosh tainis chayvadim letayratzma baregel only applies bismancha based on migdush hayakayim. The people have to be oile regel on pesach shavuot sukkahs. They have to enter the azara. So if you're tummy, you're not allowed to enter the azara. But it doesn't apply Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There is no mitzvah v'aliyah l'regel. And Mizman is everybody's tummy anyway. So what do you mean? He can't go into the Azara today. So what do you mean? Chai v'adam taratz m'beregel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There is no aliyah l'regel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So the Rosh is not happy. The Shagasari also has a whole simon. He's not happy with this Rav Sadia Gaon. If that's the understanding, Chai v'adam taratz m'beregel, Does make sense that it should apply bisman hazeh? Does make sense that it should apply to Rosh Hashanah or to Yom Kippur? So others have a suggestion. There was a balabas in Europe, Rabbi Yerucham Perla. See, he put out three fat volumes that he called Sefer Mitzvos L'Rav Sadigan. Sadigan wrote a long, a piyut, not long, not a long piyut, that he can probably print it in two or three pages, where he has in this poem, yeah, he lists off all the 613 mitzvahs. So this Rabbi Yerucham Perla has three volumes. He has 20 pages to explain every two lines in the poem. What mitzvah is he talking about, and why did he use this lashon, why that lashon? And he quotes from piyutim, aslichas, and kinnis, things written by the Rishonim. It brings rise to everything. So he has a suggestion that the Rav Sadia Gaon is not like the Rosh said. There's chay vadim atay ratzma beregel. The Sadia Gaon meant only on Erev Yom Kippur, not on Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, because the pasuk says lifnei Hashem titoru. So apparently he understood, Rav Sadia Gaon understood lifnei Hashem before Yom Kippur enters. On Yom Kippur you are in the presence of Hashem. But lifnei Hashem, before you enter into the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Erev Yom Kippur in the afternoon, titor, you should go to mikveh. So that's why Rav Sadia Gaon holds. You have to say a bracha. It's a mitzvah min haTorah. Everyone should go to a kosher mikveh. We usually assume that the minig to go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur is not because lifnei Hashem titor, not a din derais. Usually assumed like this. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, in the end of Perek Merubah, that Ezra, the one who built the second Beis Hamikdash, Ezra made 10 takonas. And you might list off all the Ezra takonas of Ezra. So one of the takonas was that a balkeri, or a married woman who's paleta shechvazera, is not allowed to daven and not allowed to learn. They have to go to mikveh in order to be allowed to daven or to learn. So the Gemara says, takonas Ezra was around for quite a few generations, like a few centuries. Ezra was the beginning of the Bais Sheni. And then the Bais Sheni, according to the Gemara, the Bais Sheni lasted 420 years. According to the history books, it lasted another 165 years, more than the 420 years. So towards way later, the Gemara in Brocha says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera repealed the Takanas Ezra. And he said, Halakot Dvari Koesh, Niyum Hashem, learning Torah is like fire, Ma'esh, Enim Mekabel Tuma. So even if he's a Tommy, a Balkari, or a married woman, is a Paleta Shechvazera, they're permitted to learn Torah. So the Gemara only records Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera did away with Takanas Ezra. That's a whole discussion in Shalim. How did they have the right to do away with Takanas Ezra? The Gemara has a klal in Bezn, Rashay Levatl, Divri Bezn Chaver, Elen Ken Godle Menem Bechachma Viminya. A later Bezn doesn't have the right to repeal the takana of an earlier bezin, unless the later bezin is greater b'chochma v'minyan. So the Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera think that he was greater b'chochma v'minyan than Ezra. So this is a big discussion the Rishonim have. What right did he have to abolish? But that's it. He abolished it. So there's a major machlokes in Rishonim. The pasuk that he used to abolish the takana was Halakol Dvari Koeshnu Hashem Ma'esh Einim Kabel Tuma. Abdi Retura Dvari is Dvar Hashem is the Retura, and not Mekabel Tuma. The Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera do away with the Takanas Ezra with respect to davening also, or only with respect to learning. So many Hasidim go to mikveh every day because they follow that opinion, their machmer. They follow the opinion that Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera only did away with Takanas Ezra with respect to learning. He never did away with the takana with respect to davening. And the world doesn't have to know when I became a balkeri, when not. So they're going to mikveh every morning, so nobody knows. So that's one opinion, that Ezra only did away, Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera only abolished takanas Ezra vis-a-vis learning. With respect to davening, the takana is still in place. And most assume not so. The Rambam writes, in heaven they'll testify on me, sahadi bamraimim, that I go to mikveh whenever I became a balkeri, before I daven. But Mikra then he says you don't have to. Because once Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera did away with Takana says, with his benegeh to learning, so the whole Takana fell apart, even benegeh to davening as well. So the Rabbeinu Tam had a Talmud. Rabbeinu Tam's real name was Rabbeinu Yankif. But it says Yankev Ish Tam Yoshei Baholim, as opposed to Esav, Ish Sada, Ish Tzayit, Yotzah Sada. So Yankev Ish Tam, so they called the Rashi's grandson, they called him by the nickname the Rabbeinu Tam. So the Rabbeinu Tam had one of his Talmidim was also called Yankev, and they called him also the Rabbeinu Tam. He used to, at night when he went to sleep, he used to dream in learning. So he used to, in his dream, he would ask, he envisioned in his dream is Malachim talking and learning, and he would ask the Malachim, there's a machlokes, are we shining him on something? How should we paskin? So usually they gave a non-committal answer. The Malachim never gave a straight answer. So one of the questions he asked was this, is machlokes, are we shining him, where they have to go to mikveh? Takana says, is it still binding with respect to davening? Or do you say once they abolished it with respect to learning, the whole takana is batel mevutel? So what do they say? So they didn't want to give a straight answer. They just said it's a machlokes. And then they said, they recommend maybe aseres mei tshuva, you should be machber. So that's why many assume that's where the mini came from. The people go to mikvah, and Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Erev Yom Kippur, to be choshish for that shita. And aseres mei tshuva, we're machmer a little more. Not that we're going to succeed in fooling the Bezon Shalmaila. They'll give us a gemar din l'tay because we're going to fool them into believing we're such a big tzaddik and a chosid. We're not fooling anybody, but we put ourselves in a more stringent atmosphere. We're knowing a few more chumras. This should have an influence on us, and we should improve ourselves. We should become bigger tzaddikim and be zeicher to a gemar din l'tay. Because by being machmer a little bit, kama machmer tova ala bracha. So that's how we usually assume that going to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, like going to mikvah Erev Rosh Hashanah, is to be machmer for the, like people on machmer, not to eat paspalter. And Aseres Mei Tshuva, so the machmer to go to mikvah for davening. In the middle of Aseres Mei Tshuva, also if he knows that he became a Balkari, he should go to the mikvah. But Rabbi Yochanan Pella and the Aruch HaShulchan, they both say, they think that Rav Sadia Gaon's Chiddush, that you have to, everyone has to go to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, and you say a broche, he's saying a broche, because of your machmer, to be machmer on something that you like it in, you don't say a broche on that. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan Pella thinks. No, Rav Sadia Gaon understood, Lifnei Hashem Titor, you mechuyav to go to mikveh before you enter into Yom Kippur. Lifnei means prior. Not in the presence of Hashem, you will be purified. Pashu B'shad in the Pasuk is, Vayom HaZeich HaPerachem Tareschem, Lifnei Hashem Titor is a repeat. In the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina is present on Yom Kippur. There's an extra degree of Hashuras HaShechina. So in the presence of the Shechina, we will be purified. Rav Sadia Gaon didn't learn like that. He learned Lifnei Hashem, before the day enters, you should purify yourselves by going to mikveh. The Ramban also translates like that, because the Gemara says in the end of Yuma that we daven mincha before the Suda HaMafsek. Usually, an Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, we come to shul, you daven mincha, then daven ma'ariv. Some shuls, they have a shir in between, but they come to shul right before the shki, daven mincha. So the Gemara says, Erev Yom Kippur, you shouldn't do like that. You should daven mincha with vidui on Erev Yom Kippur before the Suda HaMafsekes. After mincha, you go home and you eat the Suda HaMafsekes. Then you come back to shul to daven ma'ariv. You don't daven ma'ariv right after mincha like we do. Every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yontif, with a drosh in between or a shir in between or something. No. You say vidui before. The Gemara said, why do you say vidui before? Shema yera dvar kalkola besuda. Maybe something will come up, and he'll come late to shul. His wife will ask him to take down the garbage, or to wash the dishes, or to put things away in the refrigerator. He has to help his wife. She wants to go to shul also for Yom Kippur. So there may be a delay. And what'll happen? If there'll be a delay, what'll happen? So the Ramban says, in the end of Yuma, Chiddush Ramban, the Ikar Din Avidah is Lifnei Hashem Titoru. Prior to the entering into Yom Kippur, same way Rav Sadia Gaon understood, Lifnei Hashem, before you enter into Yom Kippur, when you'll be in the presence of Hashem, Lifnei Hashem, before you enter into Yom Kippur, to tell you should purify yourselves, but not like Rav Sadia Gaon said you should go to mikveh, and Banoins you should recite vidui. So the Ikar HaDin really is you should say vidui right before Shkia, but we're afraid that he's going to have the Suda Mavsekes, and there may be some delay, and then he'll come to Shul 5 minutes late, and he's going to miss the Shkia. And he didn't say the vidui lifnei Hashem before entering into Yom Kippur. So the Tanoi made a takana, say the vidui before the Suda Mavsekes. So in case some ikuv, in case some delay comes up, he has to take the garbage down or put away the food and put away the remaining food in the refrigerator or wash the dishes or something. So even if he misses the shki, he already said vidui before. But if he comes to shul after the Suda Mavsekes, and he already said vidui after mincha before the Suda Mavsekes, if the individual comes to shul with plenty of time before the shkia, then the Magen Avraham quotes the Shalom, who says, based on the Ramban, you should say vidui again. Because more correct is, lifnei Hashem t'Torah. Immediately before entering into Yom Kippur, you should purify yourselves by saying the vidui. So they both the Ramban and the Rav Sadia Gaon, seem to interpret lifnei Hashem t'Torah is not summing up what it said in the first half of the Pasuk. Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem, and the presence of Hashem, Hashem will forgive all of your averus. He will purify you on Yom Kippur. No, lifnei Hashem t'Torah means prior to entering of Yom Kippur, t'Torah, you should purify yourself. Not the Rebbe Shlom is going to purify you. Rabbi Akiva says, Hashem Yisrael lifnei miyata mitarim, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Akiva says, lifnei Hashem t'Torah means the Rebbe Shlom is going to purify you. But the way the Rav Sadia Gaon and the Ramban learn pshat, you should purify yourselves, either by going to the mikveh or by reciting vidui. So this is the whole theme of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day when there's an extra degree of closeness with Hashem. There's a greater degree of Hashuas Hashchina. They have in the collection of stories, there was a period of time where the Baal Shem Tov and the Nadi Behuda lived in the same little village before the Nadi Behuda was appointed the rabbi in the big community in Prague. But before that, he was in a little community. And they were cousins by marriage. The Baal Shem Tov and Nadi Behuda were cousins by marriage. And they had a connection with each other. They lived in the same village. They had a shaychus. So when the Baal Shem Tov was starting his movement of Hasidus, so they quote in their books that the Nadi Behuda called him into his office and he said, you have to be learned in order to start a movement for Jewish religious Jews. So he tried to see how learned he is. So the Baal Shem Tov was always hiding how much he knew. So he didn't want to answer. He gave always a different answer. So then the Nadi Behuda asked him, I was told that you can read people's minds. So if it's really true, tell me, what am I thinking about now? So the Baal Shem Tov said, you're thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Nadi Behuda said, wrong, I'm not. So the Baal Shem Tov said, well, you're supposed to be thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Pasuk says, Shavisa Hashem LeNegdi Samit. I'm always thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in fact, that could well be that is the essence of the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Alokecha. The Gemara says that the Gemara in the end of Makkos has a statement. There are 613 mitzvahs. Where did they get this idea? Because the Pasuk says, Torah Tzivalona Moshe, Marosha Kihilas Yaakov. So Torah Bigger Matri is 611. Tafresh is 600. And Vavei is 11. So Torah Tzivalona Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu told the 611 mitzvahs. And two mitzvahs we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anoch v'liyeh lecha l'pi ha'gvura shemayim. So 611 plus another two, 613. That's the whole makor of Taryag mitzvahs. So you see from the Gemara that the Pasuk Anochi Hashem Elokecha is one of the Taryag mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah. So the Bahag, the Rambam wrote a Sefer on mitzvahs where he tries to figure out what are the 14 guiding principles that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the minyan of mitzvahs or not. And then which are the 613 mitzvahs? So the Rambam has the first half of the Sefer on mitzvahs. He develops the 14 klolim, what should be counted as a mitzvah should be counted. Malachas on Shabbos, you don't count it as 39 mitzvah, you count it as one mitzvah, not to do malach on Shabbos. And all the Shabbos you may count, you don't say not to do malach on Shabbos, Parshas Bereishis, not to do malach on Shabbos, Parshas Noach, not to do malach on Shabbos, Parshas Lech Lecha. It's the same thing. So it's counted as one mitzvah, not to do malach on Shabbos. And then the Rambam lists off all the mitzvahs. So much of his minyan mitzvahs is copied from the Bahag. And then here and there, he disagrees very strongly with the Bahag. So he has a taina, the Rambam, and the Sefer Mitzvahs has a taina against the Baal HaLochas Gedoilois. How come he didn't count the mitzvah of Anochei Hashem Alokecha? Because the Gemara says, Torah Tziva Lona Moshe, Torah Bigematria 611. And Anochei V'liyeh Lecha Mipi Agvura Shmainim, those are the two additional mitzvahs. So the Gemara said, Beferish, Anochei is one of the 613 mitzvahs. How come the Bahag didn't count? So the Ramban comes to defend the Bahag. Very often the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvah comes to defend the Bahag, even though he himself agrees with the Rambam. He doesn't agree with the Bahag. Over here also, the Ramban does count the Anochei Hashem Elokecha as a mitzvah, but he thought it was a little too much that the Rambam wiped the floors with the Bahag. He said how wrong the Bahag was, how incorrect it is. So he defends the Bahag. So he says, it doesn't make, the Bahag is of the opinion, it doesn't make sense to have a mitzvah to believe in Hashem. If you don't believe in Hashem, so there's nobody there who has the authority. If there's no mitzvah, if there's no bayri olam, then there's no one there to give us any, there are no mitzvahs at all. So Anochei Hashem Elokecha maybe should be the preamble. There should be the introduction to the Aseres Hadibur. But it can't be that that itself is a mitzvah. A mitzvah to believe in God doesn't make sense. Logically, it doesn't make sense. So stuck a question, how come the Rambam and the Bahag did count Anochei Hashem Elokecha as a mitzvah? If there's no mitzvah, if you don't believe that he exists, so there can't be a mitzvah, doesn't make sense. The non-existent being requires of me, I should believe in him. But if he doesn't exist, how can there be any mitzvahs at all? So the Rabbi Chana Basman has an essay on this to explain what is Shitas HaRambam BaHaRamban, that they did count Anochei Hashem Elokecha as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. So he says, the Baal HaTanya writes this also. So I saw Rav Soloveitchik has this many years ago. Rav Soloveitchik used to give a drasha in Aseres HaMei Tshuva. So there was a character, Pinchas Peli. So Peli used to be, his family owned the weekly magazine, the newspaper, Panim El Panim. So he used to, every year he would, for quite a few years, he would write over the Rav's Tshuva drasha, and he would print it. He would print this year the drasha from last year. So he printed a whole bunch of drashas. So in one of the drashas, Rav Soloveitchik develops this idea, but the Peli didn't write that. He got it from the Baal HaTanya. It's the first page in the Tanya that the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs writes, the Sefer HaMitzvahs was originally written in Arabic. And those of us that don't know Arabic, so we use the Hebrew translation. So every so often, the Hebrew translation is not 100% accurate. So there was a great Goyen years ago, Rabbi Chaim Heller. Chaim Heller had a kollel in Berlin. So when Rabbi Soloveitchik was going to the University of Berlin, he used to spend time in Rabbi Chaim Heller's Berlin. He used to consider Rabbi Chaim Heller's kollel. He used to consider Rabbi Chaim Heller his Rebbe, because he was learning in his kollel. So Rabbi Chaim Heller knew Arabic, and he put out a new translation of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Every so often, there's an inaccuracy in the Ibn Tibbon translation. And the new translation Rabbi Chaim Heller put out came out during the lifetime of the Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim, when he saw it, he said, you're not allowed to use the old translation. The Gemara says, Amasha Sefer Sheina Muge, if I have a Sefer Halacha that has a mistake in it, I'm not allowed to keep it in the house. There's a pasuk, Al Tashkin Ba'alecha Avlo. You're not allowed to keep an Avlo in the house. A Sefer with a mistake is an Avlo. So he said, all the old editions of the Sefer HaMitzvahs with the Ibn Tibbon translation is a Sefer Sheina Muge. It's incorrect. You're not allowed to use the old edition. You have to use Rabbi Chaim Heller's edition because he corrected all the mistakes. So here there's what seems to be a contradiction. in the Ibn Tibbon translation of the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam counts the mitzvah Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So the Hebrew translation writes La'amin, to believe in God. So logically, it doesn't make sense. If you don't believe in God, so there's no mitzvah who has the right to tell you any mitzvahs at all. So that's the Ramban's argument. If there's no mitzvah, there's no mitzvah. So how can you have a mitzvah to believe in God? So more correct is, like the Rambam wrote in the Mishnah Torah, mitzvah says, Leida, sheyesh sham bari amai. What do you mean, Leida? So some understood that to mean to develop philosophical, logical proofs for the existence of God. So Rav Soloveitchik said, like the Baal Tanya, it doesn't make sense. Every 13-year-old boy is mechuyev to develop logical and philosophical proofs for the existence of God. That's what it means, Leida. He doesn't think that it means that. So the Baal Tanya quotes the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, Vayeda ha'odam es chava ishtai. Chava became pregnant from Adam Marishan. So what does it mean, Vayeda? Vayeda in that context means his chabros, they were together, kederach ish v'yishtoi. So his chabros in Chochma means like this. Every human being has a memory, and we have a lot of information in the memory. We have a lot of junk stored up, and we have a lot of important information. So some of the information you store in the back of your mind, and when you need it, the chveis, I have to remember someone's telephone number, someone's address. So I'll pull it out. I'll pull it out from all the information I have stored there. After a minute or two, I'll remember what his address is and what his telephone number is. And then there are certain points of information that mamish in the forefront of my mind. Someone will ask you, what's your wife's name? What's your address? What's your phone number? That you know. I call my phone number all the time. I know my wife. I know my wife's name. So there's certain things out in the forefront of your mind, certain things at the back of your mind. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is Leida. Sheishan Leida means, Yedia means Hischabrus, a piece of information that's so bound up with my mind, it means Shavisa Hashem Lenegdi Summit. I'm always thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the time. Shavisa Hashem Lenegdi Summit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the forefront of my mind, not in the recesses of my mind. If I think about it, I realize, yeah, there is a Bari Olam. No, I shouldn't realize, yeah. That should be, it should always, Tamid, should always have that in the forefront of your mind. This is really what we call Yichud Hashem. We believe in Yichud Hashem. So Rav Soloveitchik published once a drasha that he had delivered. Yichud Hashem doesn't only mean that we believe in monotheism as opposed to polytheism. We believe in one God. That's half of, that's part of the story. Yichud Hashem means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one and only being who is in power, who controls everything in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in complete control of everything. A lot of times it looks as if not. You say that Tzadik V'Ra'ala Rosh HaVitova, looks as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have full control. There are tzaddikim who suffer, and there are rishayim who prosper. So all the philosophers, all the chachamim, throughout all the generations were bothered with that kasha, including Moshe Rabbeinu. Madu aderech rishayim tzalecha? How come there are tzaddikim who suffer and rishayim who prosper? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't explain it. That's called miut halavana. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out when we recite Kiddush Levana, so we offer a tefillah yiratzmal fenecha. So, on all the problems that we have in the world, there are political problems. Who's running for president of the United States? It's scandalous. Both candidates are scandalous. There's a war in Eretz Yisrael. There are so many sicknesses. There's so much poverty. There's so many problems in the whole wide world. So the only thing the Jews are worried about is lemale pigimus halvana, that the moon shrinks till it disappears. That's what we're worried about. There's so many other serious problems. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that in Kabbalah terminology, the Gimus Havon is a reference to this problem of Tzadik V'Ra'ala Rosh HaVitov Lo. It looks as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in full control of the world. How does he allow such tragedies to occur? Tzadikim have to suffer and Rishoyim should prosper. He's in full control. How does he allow this? So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't explain it to you now. after all of history will be unraveled, then you look back in retrospect and you will realize that there was no tzaddik v'ra'ala rosh v'tovla. Everything was a misunderstanding. But right now, it is a major problem. So the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elkecha, the Rambam and the Ramban counted as a mitzvah. So that's what Rabbi Chana Wasserman explains. He has an essay. It's not a mitzvah to believe in God. It's a mitzvah leida. And the Baal HaTanya explains, leida means hischabrus, that this awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that should be in the forefront of your mind. That's how the first Ramah on page 1 in Orach Haim reads, Shavisa Hashem Negdi Samid is a klal gadol in our religion. We should always visualize that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, we should act accordingly all the time. If we would realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, we would speak differently, we would dress differently, we would act differently in the presence of a Melech Machem Lochem, would certainly act very differently. So that's the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. Yichud Hashem means not only that there's one God, but that one God is in full control of everything. We have a din, we have a halacha that you have to do ishtatlus. It says that when Yaakov Avinu was coming back to Eretz Yisrael, he was going to confront Esav. He was afraid. He heard the Arbameas Ishima. Esav is coming with a whole army. So he prepared himself. Rashi and Chumash quotes the Medrash. He prepared himself for three things. The Doron, the Letfila, Umelchoma. He prepared a Doron to bribe his brother to give him some of the wealth. Ulamelchoma, just in case Esav will want to start up with him, he's prepared to fight him back. And then Letfila, the Gemara says, Gemara and the end of Nida. What should a person do to be blessed with children? A, B, C, D, and offer a tefillah. What should a person do to be blessed with wealth? A, B, C, D, and offer a tefillah. Everything is like that. You always have to do a shtadlos, and then you have to offer a tefillah. But a lot of times we offer a tefillah superficially. We think the shtadlos is accomplishing the trick. And we should realize that the tefillah is more important. It shouldn't be superficial. The tefillah should be, we're speaking to the one who's in full control of everything in the world. That's called Yichud Hashem. Many of us are lacking that awareness. And our davening is a lot of times very superficial. So that's an important point. We should have Yichud Hashem, have this awareness all the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. We are always in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's in full control of everything. This year is unusual. It's Yom Kippur Shacholias B'Shabbos. So the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanoim based on a brisa in the Toras Kohanim, in the Sifra. What's a din if a person is Mechal Shabbos B'Mezid? So the punishment is Koris. He says Bezin, but also Koris. What if a person Mechal Yontif B'Mezid? He gets Malkus. What if Mechal Yom Kippur B'Mezid? Is also Koris. So let's say a person is Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg.
You are listening to Ben's Torah.
So if he would have done it, he would have been Chayv Koris. So that's a rule. Kol she's done a Koris, Shigigosa Chatos. If he did an Aver B'Shogeg, which if he would have done it B'Mezid, the punishment would have been Koris. So if you do B'Shogeg, you have to get a Kapara by bringing a Chatos. Same thing Yom Kippur. Person does Malacha B'Shogeg on Yom Kippur, so he is chayv to bring a chata. So the Gemara has a shayla. What if it's Yom Kippur shecholiyos b'Shabbos and he does a malocha b'shoigeg? Is he chayv two chatos or is he chayv one chata? So the Gemara has a whole discussion of ein isa chal al isa. The Gemara assumes that Shabbos comes first. How does Shabbos come first when you have shkia tzeisa kachavim of this coming leil Shabbos? They'll both enter simultaneously. Shabbos and Yom Kippur will both come first. How can you say the Shabbos? If anything, there's room to argue the point and say Yom Kippur comes first according to the Rambam, because the Rambam Shita is that we spoke a little bit when we started Hilchos Shabbos. The Rambam's opinion is that there's only a mitzvah lehos mechol al hakodesh only on Yom Kippur, to be moisif lefanov v'liachrov. Make the Sefer Yom Kippur before Yom Kippur begins and after Yom Kippur ends. The Rambam Shita seems to be, the different Pshatim in the Rambam, but the Pashtus in the Rambam is, there's no din of Tosefes by Shabbos or Yontif at all, not Minatar, not Minarabanan, and even if you volunteered it, it's not Chal, it's not Nitfas, nothing. Nothing with nothing. Garnished been garnished. The only time the Rambam Shita, the only time there's a din of Tosefes is on Yom Kippur. So if anything, you should say that Yom Kippur comes first, because Yom Kippur, you have Mechuyev to be Moshe Mechol HaKadosh. And then afterwards, when it comes Ben Hashmashes, then Shabbos is Chal. So you should say, Shabbos should be considered as if it's coming second. Why do you say no, Shabbos comes first? So the Rishonim explain over there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world by Baruch Hu Kim as Yom HaShvi'i by the Kaddish Oysas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not only the Kaddish, the Shabbos of Sheshes May Bereshes, the day after he created Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was created on the Yom HaShishi, and then the next day was Shabbos. No, by Baruch Hu Kim as Yom HaShvi'i, Vekadosh Os, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh all the Shabboses Ba'osid Lovoi. And on every Shabbos, when we daven Shemoneh Esrei, when we say Kiddush, we say Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mekadosh all the Shabbosim. He directly was Mekadosh them. On Yontav, we say Mekadesh Yisrael HaZmanim. Mekadesh Yisrael Yom HaKippurim. Mekadesh Yisrael V'Roshei Chodashim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh Os. We in turn declare when Rosh Chodesh is, and Mimele will know when Yom Kippur is going to be, when Sukkot is going to be. That's Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. But Mekadesh HaShabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directly Mekadesh. He was Mekadesh all the Shabbosim in Sheshes Meber, not in Sheshes Meber, the Yom HaShvi'i, by Baruch HaLikim HaS Yom HaShvi'i, by Kadosh Oysoi. In Sheshes Meber, he was not yet Mekadesh, but the day after Yom HaShishi, when he created Adam HaRishon, then he created Kedusha Shabbos. At that time, he was Mekadosh all the Shabbosim Lasi Lover. But Yom Kippur comes second because Bnei Yisrael are the ones who create Kedusha Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, and thereby we declare when Yom Kippur is going to be. So that's called that the first Tana in the Sifra holds that that's initial Ein Yisrach Alalisa. The Issa Melocha on Shabbos, Yom Kippur Shcholias B'Shabbos. First, the Issa Shabbos Paschal, Alidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Yom HaShvi'i of Yemei Bereishis. And then, every year, when the Bezdin declares Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, they're creating the Kedushas Yom Kippur. They're creating the Kedushas Yom Kippur on the 10th of Tishrei. So that's an issue of any Issa Chalalis. And the other time, the Gemara raises the objection, like the other time, no, maybe since they're both Chal simultaneously. When it comes Leil, Yom Kippur Chol is B'Shabbos, but it comes Leil Yom Kippur, they're both Chal simultaneously. So then whenever you have an Issa Basacha, so there's no discussion of Ein Issa Chal Alisa. The whole topic of Ein Issa Chal Alisa only applies if first one Issa was Chal, and later a second Issa was Chal. There's a little Tosfos in Yevamos, where Tosfos has get stuck with the Gemara. The Gemara talks about Ein Issa Chal Alisa. A Kohen, the Gemara says, a Kohen is not a Balmum and he's Tohar, but accidentally a knife, what's Tomei, cuts off the tip of his finger. So he becomes Tomei by touching the knife. Then he becomes a Balmum because the tip of the finger is chopped off. So it's a Mum Kavua. So the Kohen has two dinim. He's not allowed to be Makar Karbonis because he's a Balmum. Not allowed to be Makar Karbonis because he's Tomei, because the knife was Tomei. So Tosfos asks, but, and the Gemara considered that an Issa Basachas. So they're both Chal simultaneously. The Gemara says, why is it Tosfos says, why is it Basachas? The knife first touched the outside of his finger, then only afterwards it cut through the thickness of the finger. So it's a Bezechazeh. First he became Tomei just by the knife touching his finger. Then he became a Balmum by the knife continuing to cut through. A split second afterwards it cuts off the tip of the finger, becomes a Balmum. So Tosfos says that since it's such a small difference in time, it's a fraction of a second, it's Terka de Dibur. That's considered Basachas. That's considered Basachas. Yeah. So that's a discussion in Maseches Chulin towards the end in Gidon Asher, Per Gidon Asher. Gemara has Yom Kippur Shulchali is B'Shabbos, and the person did Malacha B'shoigeg is ichayv tucha tois, because it's an issa basachas, because the kedusha of Shabbos, kedusha of Yom Kippur, are both chal simultaneously. Maybe I should say no. Shabbos is kviya v'kaima from sheishis mei bereishis, so Shabbos came first and Yom Kippur came second. Interesting, not like us. The Gemara in other places has it there also, and the Gemara in Pesachim and other places has a discussion. Or enisa chalalisa on Yom Kippur about eating treifa food. Ochem nevela b'yama kippurim. If a person eats nevela, there's malchus. There's no koris for eating nevela. There's malchus. So what if a person eats nevela b'shoigeg? They don't bring a chatos. But one who eats on Yom Kippur b'mezid is chayv koris. So if he eats b'shoigeg on Yom Kippur, he's chayv achatos. So what if he ate b'shoigeg on Yom Kippur nevela meat? So before Yom Kippur came, the nevela meat was treif. It was already treif from before, nevela or treifa. Then it comes Yom Kippur, so nisa Yom Kippur is chal on top of the isa nevela. So that's not an isa basachas, when the animal died a week before Yom Kippur, so it's already nevela for the last week. Then when Yom Kippur comes, it's an isa Yom Kippur. So that's an isa v'zachazeh. But the second isa is what we call an isa koilo. The first isa nevela only applies to the non-kosher food, to the nevelas. Second isa applies on the kosher food. You're not allowed to eat any food on Yom Kippur. So that's what we paskan la'alocha, that if you have an isa chalalisa, but the second isa is an isa koilo, it includes not only the nevela meat, it includes kosher meat. So migud that the second isa Yom Kippur is chal on the kosher meat, it's chal on the nevela meat also. If you have an isa koilo, so the second isa is chal. But that's a machlokes hatanoim. Reb Shimon by Chai is of the opinion there's no such din as an isa koilo. So Reb Shimon would hold ha'ichom nevela b'yom kippurim. If he ate nevela b'shoigeg, he would not be chay b'chatos, because the isa yom kippur is not chal on top of the isa nevela, because ain't isa chal al isa. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin isa kolol is isa chal al isa. The second isa is chal. But going to that tana, the Nadi Yehuda has a tshuva. It's a peladik tshuva. He writes as if we paskin like this. We don't paskin like that tana. We paskin la locha that there is a din of isa kolol isa chal al isa. So the isa yom kippur will be chal on top of the isa nevela. But if one would have held like that tana, Reb Shimon, that ain't isa chal al isa, that if you eat nevela on Yom Kippur, you're not chayv kares b'mezid. So then, if a person is a chayla and he has to eat on Yom Kippur, so if you're going to give him kosher food, whenever you have to violate an issa because of pikuach nefesh, so Gemara says he tried to minimize the issa. Machina masa akala kal p'chila. Let's say a person is 100 years old, and the doctors are afraid if he's going to fast the whole day, this may weaken his body, and he's not going to die immediately on Yom Kippur. A lot of times they ask the doctor, will a person die? And the doctors misunderstand, will he drop dead on Yom Kippur? No, even if he's not going to die on Yom Kippur, if this may weaken him, and he's going to die one day earlier than otherwise, that's also called Pikuach Nefesh. Chayishah is also considered Pikuach Nefesh, and you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur to extend one's life. If a person is old and weak, he's healthy, he has no medical problems, healthy, but he's old, he's 101 years old, he's old and weak, you tell him, don't fast. This can weaken your whole body, and then you may die earlier than otherwise. So that's also a topic, a pikuach nefesh is decha Shabbos, decha kol ha'Torah kula, yeah. So the Gemara has a klal. Let's say a Jew is in a concentration camp by the Nazis, and they're not going to give him kosher food. They give him nevela. They give him nevela food. But he has a choice. He can either eat nevela or he can eat whatever chelev. So chelev is an issa karis. Nevela is an issa lav. So the Gemara has the call, machila masa hakala kal tchila. He tried to violate the lesser aveira. Or let's say a healthy person, but the doctors are afraid that he's going to fast on Yom Kippur. He's 100 years old. Dr. Zarfain is going to fast Yom Kippur. This is going to clearly weaken him and is going to die earlier than otherwise, earlier than he should. That's also called Pikoch Nefesh. So there we would recommend he should eat Pachas Pachas Mikashir. Wheat Paschal Nechatzashir is also Menatara. If you eat less than a kazayas of treifas, or on Yom Kippur, the shiurim are different. Shir for achila is kosevis hagasa, and the shir for shtia is maloy lugmov. It's different from the shir and kol atarkula, the tray for foods and tray for beverages. But still, there's a shir and there's a chatzis shir. So if a person eats chatzis shir of a treifas, that's a machleg zabiach and reish lakish. Is that an isa deraisa and isa derabonim? So we pass on like Rabbi Yechanan. So it's an Issa Derais. The Chatzishir is an Issa Derais. A lot of the women, a lot of the people think Pachas Mikashir is only an Issa Derabanan. So if you don't feel well, you're allowed to eat Pachas Pachas Mikashir. So the Menachas Chinuch said that's absolutely not correct. We pass on Chatzishir Asimana Torah. So if you're going to eat a little bit and then wait a few minutes and eat a little bit more, wait a few minutes. It's only mutter on Yom Kippur if you're a chole mesukan, if there's a sakana, a sofek sakana, svek svek of a sakana. But if he's vadai, no sofek sakana, just because you're going to feel weak, that's not a heter to eat on Yom Kippur. You're only allowed to eat if there's a sofek or a svek svek of pikoch nefesh. Pikoch nefesh doesn't mean he may drop dead on Yom Kippur. If the doctors think that there's a slight chance that it may weaken his body, and he's going to die one day or 5 minutes earlier than otherwise, that's called chayisha, that's also decha. But if you're not, if there's no sakana, you're not allowed to eat pachas pachas mikashir. So pachas pachas mikashir is if a person is healthy, but we're afraid he's going to fast, he's going to get sick, this will weaken him, so this may cause him to die earlier than otherwise. So then you say, don't eat a full kashir, eat Pachas pachas mekashir, because machila mosa akal akal tchila. Chot zishir of an iser is a kal. It's not the same degree iser as a full shir. The full shir is karis, and chot zishir there's no karis. So the din requires whenever you have to violate an avera because of pikuach nefesh, you have to try to do akal akal tchila. So the Gemara has the discussion. A person has to eat some food in order to remain alive. So he has a berit to eat either chelev, which has an Issa Koris, are eating Nevela. So Issa Chelev is Chomer, Issa Nevela is Kal. So Machila Masa HaKal HaKal Tchila. So a person on Yom Kippur, you have to eat to stay alive. So don't eat a full Kashir. Chot Zishir is an Issa Deraisa, but it's less of an Issa. There's no Koris. So you eat Pachas Pachas Mekashir. Eat less than the Shir and wait a few minutes, the Shir to the Achilas Pras, and then eat some more. You can eat a lot of food. Pachas Pachas Mikashir. Rav Soloveitchik always used to say over that his grandfather, Rav Chaim, had a kula, that this requirement of Pachas Pachas Mikashir is only if the person is healthy, but we're afraid if he's going to fast on Yom Kippur, this will weaken him, and he may die earlier than otherwise, which is a real concern. Older people, they may die early because you weaken their body. What if the person is suffering from, has cancer, and he's taking medications, and the doctors say healthier for him would be to pull him out of the cancer, to cure him, that he should eat regular meals on Yom Kippur. So then Rav Chaim Paskin, that you don't have to eat pachas pachas mikashir, because the Rambam says you do kol tzarachov. The kol tzarach means it's kechol. You don't have to observe any of the laws of Yom Kippur at all. That's Rav Soloveitchik always used to say that this is Rav Chaim's Hoyroa. Rav Velvel Soloveitchik has a sefer on the Rambam, and he explains all the different Gemaras according to Rav Chaim. The Mishnah Berurah has a lot of kashas against the Shita. Rav Velvel explains that all the kashas are a mistake, and none of the kashas really frag up the Shita. The Netziv used to paskan like that also. The Netziv, when he was a teenager, he was learning in Valojin, and he wrote this commentary on the She'iltas to Rav Choygoin. So he writes there, this was the tradition in Valojin from the days of Rav Chaim Valojina, not Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Even Rav Kook who followed the Netziv. He didn't follow. Rav Kook learned the Malozhin were both the Netziv and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik with Kol Rosh Yeshiva in the last years of Malozhin before they closed down. So he was Nimshach after the Netziv. Some of the students only went to the Netziv Shir. The Netziv gave Shir Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Rav Chaim gave Shir Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every Shir covered approximately a blot Gemara. So in the course of the week, they learned six blot with Shiurim. Then on Shabbos, they would chazer all the six blot. Then the next week, again, the Netziv would give Shir Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, each year covering our blot Gemara. Rav Chaim would give the Shir Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So most of the Talmidim attended both of the Shiurim. Some of them only went to Rav Chaim Shir because Rav Chaim had a new razzle-dazzle derech alimud that was very different from the old derech. And others, like Rav Kook, they liked the traditional style. They didn't like the new razzle-dazzle analytic approach. So they only went to the Netziv Shir. But this, Rav Kook also used to paskin like this, not because Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, because the Netziv said when he came to the yeshiva, I think he came to the Valoshin Yeshiva before his bar mitzvah. He was a little boy before his bar mitzvah. He said this was the Psak HaMekubal in Valoshin from the days of Chaim Valoshina, that if he's the person already is a Chayla Mesukon, and they're giving him treatments for the cancer or whatever the sickness that he has, and every month he has a flare-up, something else, so you don't tell him to eat Pachas Ben Kishir. That's Rav Soloveitchik would like to speak in public about this. He would say when his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, took his first rabbinical position, his father, Rav Chaim, made him promise him with a tkiyas kaf, he shook hands on this, that when it comes up, Yom Kippur, and someone is a chayla mesukan already, not that he's healthy, but you're afraid that the tonus will weaken him and he'll die earlier than otherwise. No, he already is a chayla mesukan, and we're giving him treatments to pull him out of the cancer to cure him, then in such a case, there's no din of hakala kaltchila. You just give him regular meals. Kol tzarachav. That's called kol tzarachav. So that's Rav Soloveitchik used to be very insistent on that. The Gemara says that when Yom Kippur, Shulchan Aruch quotes this from the Gemara, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, like this coming Shabbos, Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, they say Mogen Ovis after Ma'ariv, but you only end off Mikadesh HaShabbos. In the Shmones, you say Mikadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Yom HaKippurim. You combine the two together. But when you say Mogen Ovis, you don't combine the two. Why is that? So the Gemara explains why. Mogen Ovis, you only say on Leil Shabbos. You don't say on Leil Yontif. If it's a regular Yom Kippur, you don't say Magen Avos. You don't abridge the Shmoneh Esrei. You say Slichas, okay. But you don't say, you only say Magen Avos, the Mechayiv is only on Leil Shabbos. So since Yom Kippur is not Mechayiv to say Magen Avos, like Yontav is not Mechayiv, Rosh Chodesh is not Mechayiv, so when you say the Hasimus HaBrocha, you only say Mikadesh HaShabbos. The Gemara has a Shaila. And Shabbos Chalamoid, when you say Haftarah, the end of the last bracha, Allah Torah v'al alavada v'al yom haShabbos hazeh, so when you say the Chasimus HaBracha, you say Mikadesh HaShabbos, or do you mention also Mikadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'hazmanim, because it's Shabbos Chalamoid. On Shabbos, Yontav Shecholiyos b'Shabbos, on every Yontav you say Haftarah, you say Haftarah. So every Yontav is Mechayiv Haftar. Shabbos is Mechayiv Haftar Yontav. So when you have Shabbos Chalamoid, so you say, when you have Yontav Shechalias B'Shabbos, the end of the bracha on the Haftar, the last bracha on the Haftar, the Kadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael HaHazmanim. But what's the din of Shabbos Chalamoid? On Chalamoid, you don't say a Haftar. If it's plain Chalamoid, you don't say a Haftar. The only Mechayiv is, if it's Shabbos Chalamoid, you're saying Haftar because it's Shabbos, not because it's Chalamoid. So that's a machloikis amaroyim in the Gemara. It is Shabbos Chalamoid. So should you say both Mikadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Hazmanim, or you only say Mikadesh HaShabbos? So that's a machloikis amaroyim. Then the Gemara gives a psak. So there's a machloikis Rashi and Tesis how to read the psak. So Rashi understands the psak is that you do say both. You always say both. And Tosfos shows from the Gemara it's not so. We follow Tosfos. We follow Tosfos. When you have Rosh Chodesh Shechol Yes B'Shabbos, we don't say Mikadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Rashei Chodoshim. Nobody says like that. So that's what we do on Leil Yom Kippur Shechol Yes B'Shabbos. We say Magen Avos. You end off Mikadesh HaShabbos. Because if it would only be Yom Kippur, you wouldn't say a Magen Avos. If it would be any other Yontav, you wouldn't say Magen Avos. Only if it's Shabbos, you say Magen Avos. So even though you're mentioning Kedushas HaShabbos, you have to mention the Kedushas Yom Kippur. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes the Hagos Minhagim, the Sefer Minhagei Rabbi Isaac Tirna, from the city Tirna. So Hagos Minhagim on the bottom of the page in the Sefer Minhagim, he comes up with a compromise, a chilek between Shabbos Chalamayit Pesach and Shabbos Chalamayit Sukkos. Because Sukkos is Chalukim, the carbon is same. Every day you bring a different carbon. So therefore on Shabbos Chalamayit Sukkos, you should mention Kadesh HaShabbos Yisrael V'Hazmanim. On Shabbos Chalamayit Pesach, they're not Chalukim, the carbon is same. They bring the exact same carbon. They bring the same carbon every day, day in, day out, the 7 days of Pesach. So because it's not Chalukim and Korban the same, so therefore you don't mention Kedushas HaPesach. This is a difficult svar. They quote the Vilna Gaon, Paskins against the Ramah. It doesn't make any sense. The Gemara discussed it. The Gemara never mentioned such a svar over here. Gemara says Chalukim and Korban the same for a different issue. Why do you say every day of Sukkah is Halal Shalem, and at Pesach you only say Halal Shalem the first day, or Chutzlo the first 2 days? So the Gemara explains why by Halal is a different story. But with respect to whether you say Kedushas Chalamayit, it shouldn't apply at all. I remember once I was in a yeshiva in London for Sukkos, Shabbos Chalamayit Sukkos. So the Rosh Yeshiva, what was his name? Halpern. I forgot his first name already. He wrote a few svarim. Put out a few svarim. So this Rabbi Halpern was the Rosh Yeshiva. He told the Gabbai, whoever you give maftah to, tell him he should not say what's printed in the siddur. The Kadesh HaShabbos Yisrael V'Hazmanim is just saying the Kadesh HaShabbos, like the Vilna Gaon. So when they were giving the Shabbos Chalamayit, Sukkos, so they'd be giving seven aliyahs. In the fifth aliyah, sixth aliyah, the Gabbai comes and he tells them, I don't know, I don't think his name is Elchanan Halpern. I think that's a different, that's also in London, but that's a different person. I forgot his first name. Alter, Rabalta Halpern. Elchanan Halpern has a Hashgachas. That's a different, another rabbi. This person named Rabalta Halpern. So in the middle of Chamishi or Shishi, the Gabbai comes over to Rabbi Halpern. He tells him, everybody's afraid to take them off, that they don't want to say different from the way it's printed in the siddur. So the Rosh Yeshiva says, I'm not afraid of the printer. Give me mafta and I'll say like the Nusach HaGro. It's really, the Pashto should be like that. That's what we do. On Leil Yom Kippur Shechol Yes B'Shabbos, we say Magen Avos. You only end off with Kadesh HaShabbos. You don't say Kadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael Yom HaKippurim, because on a regular Yom Kippur, you don't recite Magen Avos. So you don't. You only say Kadesh HaShabbos. So the same thing when you have Shabbos Chalamayit and you say Haftorah. Chalamayit is never Mechayiv Haftorah. You only have a Chayiv Haftorah because it's Shabbos. So you end off with Kadesh HaShabbos. You don't end off with both. Yeah, the Pashto says that the Goyin is right. The Magen Avraham writes, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, that this coming Shabbos, Yom Kippur Shechol Yes B'Shabbos, usually when you have Yom Tov Shechol Yes B'Shabbos, so you say the last bracha. Let me see what I have here. So you have the Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Achronis. Then the middle of bracha is the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. Here, let's say, I have a machzor for Rosh Hashanah. What do you say in the middle of bracha? Atav v'chatanu kama titan l'Hashem elkeinu v'siyam hazikron hazeh v'kenu k'hasein yala v'yavah v'kenu k'hasein v'locho kol olam kula v'chvei tach v'nesek ol hasbi karecha. Then if it's chali es b'shabbat, then you say l'kenu k'hasein v'tzei b'mnuch hasein. And if it's chal b'chol, so you don't add that. The lekenu kevesen et semin lechosen. So here the Magen Avraham quotes from the Levush that when it's Yom Kippur shecholis b'Shabbos, you don't say that line. You leave out what's in lekenu kevesen et semin lechosen. You don't say it. Why? Because it wasn't so pleasant. The observance of Yom Kippur is not going to be so pleasant because we're all going to be starving. We're all going to be fasting for the whole day. So it's not going to be as pleasant as a normal Shabbos. But that's why we don't say B'Sem L'Chasem. So they point out that the Balatanya in his Siddur, Balatanya in his Shulchan Aruch writes, like the Magen Avraham, the Balatanya in the Siddur writes that you do say B'Sem L'Chasem, that you should say B'Sem L'Chasem. I saw in the Kaf HaChaim, he quotes that he thinks that Roy V'Achreinim don't accept this Magen Avraham. Rabbi Achronim hold like the Balatanya's Nusach, that you say it on Yom Kippur Shulchalis B'Shabbos, you still say, L'kem Gam Sein, it's Seymin L'Chaseinu, yeah. Others never say, others, even on Yom Tiv Shulchalis B'Shabbos, they won't say, there were different men arguing, they won't say, L'kem Gam Sein, it's Seymin L'Chaseinu. What is that all about? So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to explain. In Gemara Beitza, there's a Machlekes B'Shamme B'Shillel, what's the din of Yom Tiv Shulchalis B'Shabbos? And you're davening Shmona Esrei. So Beisham, I say, he say Gimel Rishon is Gimel Achronis. Then you say two brachas in the middle. One bracha, what you would say, Ata Kidashta, what you would daven, let's say, for Ma'ariv of Shabbos. And then you say, Bracha Tosha Mekadesh HaShabbos. Then you say another bracha, Ata V'chatanu Kol HaMetitlanu, Ziyam Chag HaMatzis HaZeh, and you end up Mekadesh Yisrael, HaZmanim. You say two brachas in the middle, because the two Kedushas are not connected, they're not related. One is superimposed on the other. Two different Kedushas Hayom that don't blend in together. So the Yav Shmon Esrei that consists of eight brachas. Gimel Rishon is Gimel Achronis, is six. Then you have, according to Bisham, you have two brachas in the middle. One bracha for Mekadesh HaShabbos, one bracha Mekadesh Yisrael, the Hazmanim. And we don't paskin like that. We paskin like Beis Hillel, that when it's Yom Tov Shecholis B'Shabbos, you combine the two together. So the Gemara in Brachas raises the issue, how can Beis Hillel say combine both together, Mekadesh HaShabbos, the Yisrael HaHazmanim, but we have a rule, Ein Chosmin B'Shnayim. When you have a long bracha and you end up, Baruch Atah Hashem, the Chasima, you're not supposed to have two different themes in the Chasima. That's a person comes into Shul Shachris late, and he has to say 15 Birchas HaShachar. And that's on the Sechwin Hadchayim and Laila Shalos Ani Goy, Shalos Ani Yavi, Shalos Ani Isha, Pekeach Ivrim, Mal Bisharumim, Mater Surim, Samach Lofim, Rekai Wurz Alamoim. He doesn't have time to say all 15. So he says, Baruch HaTosh and Mekan Maroilam, and that's on the Sechwin Hadchayim and Laila, Bisholos Ani Goy, Bisholos Ani Yavi, Shalos Ani Isha. He says one Shema Malchus, and he says all of the Chasimas. So that's a din, Ein Chos Min Mishnayim. You're not allowed to do that. And even if you did it, you're not yotze all the 15 Birchas HaShachar. You only yotze the first one. Then you have to say another 14 brachas. That's a klal, Ein Chos Min Mishnayim. You can't end a bracha with two different chasimas. So the Gemara says, Chutz Mizu, this is one and only exception to the rule. Then it's Yantab Shechali is B'Shabbos. We paskan like Beis Hillel, and we combine together Mekadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael HaZmanim. It's in a certain sense, it's a violation of Eichos Mishnayim. So when the Rishonim, you look in the Rif, on that Gemara, I think it's Daf Mem Tes and Brachas on that Gemara. So they have different Rishonim on the side of the Rif say what Pshat in the Gemara. So they seem to have a Shini Loshin. Some Rishonim say that in principle, Beis Shammai is really right, that you should really say Shmoneh Esrei with eight brachas. There should be two brachas and mitzvahs, one brach Mekadesh HaShabbos, one brach Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. But the Gemara says in brachas, you have to have a source in Tanakh that you have a right to offer a tefillah with so many brachas. We have a source on Rosh Hashanah, we say Malchus Chana Shofis, so we say Shmoneh Esrei an Amidah with nine brachas. It should really be 10 brachas. We spoke, it should really be 10 brachas. The first Gimel Rishon is Gimel Achronis, Kedushas Hayayim, Malchus Chana Shofis. But there's no mocker that you have the right to offer a tefillah with 10 brachas. So we have to combine two of the brachas and make it into make take the 10 themes and make them into 9 brachas. So here also, Meikra Din B'Sham is really right. That Yantab Shechali is B'Shabbos. You should really say two brachas in the middle. But there's no mocker in Tanakh that you have a right to make an Amidah with 8 brachas. We only have a mocker for 7 brachas. So we combine together. But it's really, in a certain sense, it's Ein Chos Min Mishnayim. It's a violation, but it's not that bad because they're both about Tushas Hayam. And other Rishonim say, no, Basila disagree fundamentally with Bishama. Whereas Bishama, I hold that if you have Yantav Shechalis B'Shabbos, they're two independent Kedushas Hayayim. One is superimposed on the other. Basila disagree. They hold, no, the two Kedushas Hayayim blend in to be one hyphenated Kedushas Hayayim of Yantav Shabbos, or Shabbos Yantav, with a hyphen in between. So it's not at all a violation of Ein Chos Min Mishnah. So Rav Soloveitchik said that that's apparently the machlokes, whether you should say on a regular Yantav, Shcholias B'Shabbos, should you say Lekenu Kevaseinu, it's say B'Mruchaseinu. Here, on Rosh Hashanah, the bracha should begin Lekevaseinu, Lecho Kol Olam Kulu B'Chvei Decha. On Shabbos, the bracha should begin Lekenu Kevaseinu, it's say B'Mruchaseinu. So according to B'Shamay, you say two different brachas, but we don't pass like B'Shamay. So if you hold that according to Beis Hillel, Mikra Din, B'Shamay is right. But you have to blend in the two together because we have no source that you can offer a tefillah with 8 units. So then we start with both. We start with that's how you would start on a normal Shabbos. And we join them together because we don't want to violate. We don't want to have a Shmoneh Esrei with 8 brachas. So we join them together. But if you hold that they still disagree fundamentally with Bishama, it's a different kind of a Kedushas Hayayim. So you're not trying to demonstrate as if you would have wanted to say two brachas. Can we say Malacha Kol Kol B'Chvei Decha because of Rosh Hashanah? Can we say B'Tzei Menucha Seinu because you want to show that it's Shabbos? But then there's no mocker for Shmoneh Esrei with 8, so you combine together at the end. So perhaps Soloveitchik thought that this Shaila, where Yantav Shechali is B'Shabbos, not Yom Kippur, Yantav Shechali is B'Shabbos, whether the two Kedushas blend in to be one hyphenated Kedusha, or the one is superimposed on the other, they don't blend in together. That's the Shaila, that's the Machlok, what they say, L'Kenu Kamesen, Tzei Menu Chaseinu. If you say it means that the two separate kedushas hayayim, and you really would have wanted to say like b'shamay, two separate brachas, but you can't do that. There's no mokar in Tanakh for a tefillah with 8 units, so that's why we combine at the end. But his minig was that even chaliyas that nusach hagra, he said that even when yantav chaliyas b'shabbos, you don't say this, you never say the line. Not only on yom kippur shchaliyas b'shabbos, any yantav shchaliyas b'shabbos, you don't add the line v'tzei b'nuchaseinu. They thought that was the fundamental machlokes. What part of Beis Shammai does Beis Hillel disagree with? The Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Parshas Yom Kippur, every page he always quotes from the Mate Ephraim. Ephraim Zalman Margolius wrote a sefer, Mate Ephraim, Hilchos Parshas Yom Kippur and Sukkos, and he writes all the dinim, all the minhagim, and then they have commentaries on the bottom of the page where they add more. So the Mate Ephraim writes that the Chazan, before he starts Musaf, before they start davening Musaf, he says, Hineni Hani Mimas. So the Shaila is, after he says Hineni, then he says Chatzi Kaddish, and everybody davens Tfilah Balachash. So this Chatzi Kaddish, what is that all about? Is Chatzi Kaddish before Musaf the introduction to Musaf? Musaf has to begin with a Chatzi Kaddish? Or is a Chatzi Kaddish relates back to the psukim that is said before? So that's a shaila. Let's say the rabbi on a normal Shabbos, we finish Kriyas HaTorah, put back the Sefer Torah B'Nucha Yoimar. Then the rabbi gets up and he holds a sermon. Then you say Chatzi Kaddish. What are you saying Chatzi Kaddish about? So if the Chatzi Kaddish is the introduction to Musaf, good. Say Chatzi Kaddish in Yidam Tfilis, Musaf Delachash. But if the Chatzi Kaddish is related to the Psukim before, the rabbi just held that talk about the elections, who's running for president, or some political issue. So what is saying Chatzi Kaddish on his sermon that had no Psukim at all? So that's what many poskim recommend when the rabbi holds a sermon, and then you're going to say Chatzi Kaddish, and she really say a Perek and Tillim. Or say again, someone should say soft the Gimel Psukim, in order that for sure you should be saying Kaddish improperly. That's the Shaila when you have Rosh Chodesh. When do you take off the tefillin by Rosh Chodesh? So the two men hogman take off the tefillin before the Kaddish, Chatzi Kaddish, before Musaf, or after the Chatzi Kaddish. So the Mishnah Berurah, most people take off the tefillin after the Chatzi Kaddish. Mishnah Berurah Paskin is not so. Rav Soloveitchik also said you should really follow what the Mishnah Berurah says, because the Ikar really is that the Chatzi Kaddish before Musaf is the introduction to Musaf. Like the Rambam writes, the Chatzi Kaddish after Ishtabach is the beginning of Shachris. Shachris begins with the Chatzi Kaddish. Pesukah Zimmer is an introduction, but the Tefillah B'Tzibur, that's not Tefillah B'Tzibur. Tefillah B'Tzibur begins with the Chatzi Kaddish after Yishtabach. So the same thing, Musaf Amish Chodesh begins with the Chatzi Kaddish. So you shouldn't take off the tefillin in between. Most places, the minhag is they take off the tefillin after the Chatzi Kaddish, because they assume the Chatzi Kaddish has to relate to the psukim Menucha Yoimar. So we usually avoid that issue. When the rabbi holds a sermon, you should really say Gimel the Chazan. However, someone should say Gimel psukim, let's say a kapitel and tilim, that for sure you can say the Chatzi Kaddish. Either it's a conclusion of the Gimel Psukim, or it's an introduction to the Musaf. When you're taking off the tefillin on Rosh Chodesh, though, there's no way to satisfy the both opinions. Many women have the practice that when they bench licht on Yontif, on Erev Yontif, they say Shachiyona. So Rabbi Kivega quotes from Bianca Vemden that that's not right, because the men can also say the Shachiyona Shaloi Alakos. The Gemara says, Shachiyana, Amra Afila Bashuk, you can say the Bracha Shachiyana while you're walking in the street on Yom Tov. Doesn't have to be Alakos. But if he's saying Kaddish, if he's saying Kiddush anyway, Alakos, so why not elevate the significance of the Shachiyana, that it should also be a Bracha Alakos? So you save the Shachiyana till the end of the Kiddush, and you say it Alakos. If the women are going to say Shachiyana when they bench lift, so they're losing out, they will already be Yotzei Shachiyana Shalom Alakos. So why should they lose that? So more correct is the women should not say their own Shachiyano when they bench shlich, except for Yom Kippur, if they want, because the men are not going to say Alakos anyway. Men are going to say in shul. If they call Nidre, the Chaz is going to say Shachiyano, and everyone's going to say along Shachiyano. But this poses a problem. The Gemara said to the Farish, once you say Shachiyano on Erev Yom Kippur, that's by definition a Kabbalah Tosefes Yom Kippur. So a lot of the women are used to the following the psak. If you ben shlicht and you want to still do malacha, so you say the bracha v'adig ner shal Shabbos, and you make it tonight. You say b'ferish, I'm not mekabel Shabbos. I plan to do another malacha. So a lot of the women will ben shlicht on Erev Yom Kippur a little extra, and they'll drive to shul if the shul is a bit of a mahalach from their home. So once the woman says shachyanu, that's by definition Kabbalah Tosefes Yom Kippur. You can't say, you can't be Yotzei Shachiyano on Erev Yom Kippur. The Bahag was of the opinion even Hadlokas Haneris on Erev Shabbos is also Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos Bal Korchai. So Mikra Din, we really don't hold like him, but L'chatchila we're Machmer. The Bahag got it from this Gemara. The Gemara says in Erev, in Daf Mem and Beis, when you say Shachiyano on Erev Yom Kippur, that's a Kabbalah Tosefes Yom Kippur. See, you can't make a tanai on that. There's no way to make a tanai. So if the women plan to drive to shul, they should be careful to make a tanai when they're madlik the neiris and not to say shachiyano. Rav Soloveitchik said that he once discussed with one of the dayanim in Vilna, a penach egis, Penach Eges was older than Reb Chaim Oizer, and he outlived Reb Chaim Oizer. He delivered a hesped when Reb Chaim Oizer passed away. He was a great goy. Chaim Oizer apparently was bigger than him. So Penach Eges, he says he once had a discussion with him, and one of the childers in his Marteshes is the sefer of Penach Eges. So he has a discussion. Rabbi Kavega has this shaila. A person is not healthy, and the doctors told him he has to eat on Yom Kippur. But he observes everything else on Yom Kippur. Can he get an aliyah to Mincha on Yom Kippur? What's the nature of the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha? Is it that basically it's Yom Kippur is a Tainis Sibur, so you have Kriyas HaTorah and a Tainis Sibur by Mincha? So that's what Kriyas HaTorah is all about, by Mincha on Yom Kippur. Or is it, no, maybe it's the Kriyas HaTorah of Shabbos. On Yontev, there is no Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. But on Shabbos, there is. And Bizman HaGemara, there used to be a Haftorah also on Shabbos afternoon. Tosis says, I, the Mishnah, I sound like there's no, hey, Maftir and Binovi. And the Gemara said, there is Maftir. So Rabbi Natam says, yeah, the Maftir on Shabbos to Mincha is from Tehillim. It's from Ksuvim. It's not from Novi. So that's a Shaila Rabbi Kevega has in the Tshuvas. A person was told by the Rabbanim he has to eat on Yom Kippur. Can you give him an aliyah by Mincha? If the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha is Petoris Tainis Sibu, so we don't give an aliyah to a person if he's not Misanim, if he's not fasting. But if the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha is like Shabbos afternoon, Yom Kippur has the same level of Kedusha as Shabbos, so then he did observe. He observed whatever he was Mechuyev to. He wasn't obligated to observe a Chidush Tia. So Penach Eges writes, that's a Rav Soloveitcher, he used to say it over. He didn't say whether it was his or Penach Eges. It says he once discussed it with him, and he has it in the Marteshes, and it's safe he has it. He writes in the Hagdomah to Rav Penach Eges writes in the Hagdomah to his Sefer, he's not familiar with the newfangled style of learning, the analytic style, the Brisker Derech, he's not familiar with that. He says he learned by the Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi had the old style without all the analysis. But he has, every so often, he has a beautiful analysis that would be the style of Rav Chaim's. But that's what he writes in Hagdomah. He's from the old school, and he learns the old traditional style. So he says there's a machlekes harishainim, machlekes ha-mechabed ne-ramor. When you have the person says the haftorah on Mincha, on Yom Kippur, does he end off Magen David, like a tiny sibur? It doesn't say Allah Torah v'al Avoda v'al Yom HaKippurim Azeh, like you do on Shabbos. See, if you say the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha on Yom Kippur is B'Torah Tainis Sibur, then you end up Magen David. But if you say that it's a Kriya B'Torah Shabbos, then you should say the last bracha. Say the last bracha, Allah Torah v'avoda v'al Yom HaShabbos Azeh, B'Kadesh HaShabbos. So Rav Soloveitcher pointed out that there are two minhagim. Usually the minig is on Yom Narayim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the one who has the aliyah has a different nigin. Baruch Hashem HaMevayrach, Baruch Hashem HaMevayrach, Le'ilam Va'el, an eerie nigin. And the same thing, the Balkore lanes with an eerie nigin. It's not the regular trup from all year long. Achar HaDvarim Ha'ele, not the regular trup. So the two minhagim, what niggun should you sing when you're laying the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha Yom Kippur? Rav Soloveitchik said it should depend on this machlokes also. Our practice is that we don't say Allah Torah, we end up Magen David. So that's consistent. Our practice, most places the practice is that the Balkari lanes with the normal trup, and the person that gets an aliyah by Mincha says the bracha with the normal niggun, not with the special eerie niggun. Because we assume that the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha on Yom Kippur is B'Torah Tainis Sibur. It's not B'Torah Shabbos, but B'Torah Tainis Sibur. The Baal HaTanya has a correction in the Seder HaAvodah. In the regular Machzorim, you have the paragraph HaKan V'Am Ham De Mazor Yekoy Mishtach V'Mod Menaf Mal Paneim. You only have it three times. In the Seder HaAvodah, Ken Godel says Vidui three times. Each time he says Vidui, he says Shem Hashem, Shem Amforish three times. So, Hakanam, Shayakurim, Shemes Hashem Yetzim Furish Min Piklein Gadol. So you say it at the end of the three times of Kana V'Ha'am, everybody kneels. So the Balatanya added it the fourth time, because the Mishnah says when the Kohen Gadol said Lashem Chatos, when he did the Hagrola on the Shnei Sira Yom Kippurim, when he says Lashem Chatos, he pronounces the Shem Afarish Kichzavai, and that it was also Kana V'Ha'am the Bazar. So the Balatanya writes you should say it four times, but there's no minute to be Mishtachva the fourth time. Even on the Beis HaMikdash, they did. Rav Soloveitchik introduced in his Beis Medrash in Boston that they do like the Balatanya, they say the fourth time, but he had introduced that they do Pishud D'Ayin V'Raglayim all four times, not just three times, all four times. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote, the Mechaber quotes from the Mechilta and the end of Parshas B'Shalach, where the Torah writes about Melchemes HaMolech. The Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hands and Aram v'chur tamcha v'yad mizeachor mizeachor v'hiyad v'amuna ad boy ha-shamish. So the Poshim Shad and Poshim, Aram v'chur had to hold the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. He couldn't hold it the whole time. So the Mechilta says, no, mikan, from this Poshim you learn out, even if no, the Baal Tefillah is not holding his hands, tainis sibo need shloishim. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu was davening that the Jews should be successful in the Melchemes HaMolech, so they had Moshe, Aaron, V'chur. So there was a Bezn of three. So whenever you have a tiny seat, we need a Bezn of three. Rav Soloveitchik used to explain it. You need three. Rav Soloveitchik explained, it's Betorah's Bezn. We put together a Bezn, and we paskin that the Ribbono Shel Olam is mechuyav to take care of the Jewish people, because he promised us. He made a bris with the Tzibur. Didn't make a bris with the Yochid, he made a bris with the Tzibur. So when a Yochid davens Tfilah B'Lachash, he davens Loshen Tachanunim. He's begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu K'oni HaEmet BaPesach. When the Chasim davens Shmon Esrei out loud, there are different minhagim, whether he davens demanding or he davens also with a wailing nigun. Rav Soloveitchik said the minhag is he davens with a demanding, because the Tzibur has a bris with the Ribbono Shel Olam, is mechuyav to live up to the bris. On a tiny sibur, in each loisha, you should have two people standing next to the chazan when he says the chazaras hashatz, and they constitute a bezin, and they're demanding of a kadosh baruch hu. He has to be mechal ola avonis b'nei yisrael because of the bris. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham, who did away with the whole din. He says you only need three when you say kol nidre, because the old nusach of kol nidre used to be hataras nedarim. So for Torah's Nam, you need Shloisha. And then you need three for Tfilas Ne'ila, because Ne'ila is a Tfilas Hatainis. Ma'ariv and Shachris and Musaf and Minchi, daven every day of the year. Whenever there's a Kedusha Sayyam, he daven Musaf. So the only one that's a Tfilas Hatainis, you need three for HaTorah's Nadarm called Nidre, and you need three for Ne'ila. So then the Magen Avraham says, by Ne'ila, there are Kodesh is open the whole time, so everybody's standing. So some of the people are standing near the chazan, so you will have the shlosh. So Leitchik always used to insist you should have two separate people standing next to the chazan by Ma'ariv, when the chazan is saying all the slichas by Ma'ariv, and by Shachris, Musaf, and Mincha also when he does the Chazaras Hashatz. Like the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, Tainet Tziba Boy Shlosha, you have to have two people standing next to the Baal Tefillah every time he says the Shmona Esrei. The many, many beautiful dinim and minhagim on Yom Kippur should all be blessed by the chasima, Gmar chasima toiva, a healthy year for all of us. Lanu l'chol Yisrael, the Baruch Shalom should resolve all the issues in Eretz Yisrael. We should have peace. A good year.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.